There's a new warning this week about the likely impact of climate change on the world's food supply. It's part of a draft report from the UN's climate science panel, the IPCC. The leaked draft says climate change is likely to cut global crop yields over the next few decades, even as demand for food keeps growing fast, creating a potentially dangerous gap. David Lobel of Stanford's Center on Food Security and the Environment is one of the authors. He says the overall trends are clear, but that scientists are still trying to get a fix on where the changes might be the most dramatic.
The effects of climate change are already evident in a lot of regions of the world, and that's something that we've really seen come up in the literature over the last 5 years. And then if we continue unabated out to scenarios of very high levels of global warming, it presents a very large challenge out 50 or more years to food security.
So do scientists agree on how food production will be affected by climate change?
Well, the whole process of the IPCC is to try to assess the consensus of the literature. And only when there's lots of agreement for lots of different approaches do we really say that there is strong consensus. And in the topic of food production and food security, there is still a lot of uncertainty in various aspects, which is to say we don't think the case is completely closed.
I mean, we've had big climate-related problems in recent years in North America, but we're also seeing in places around the world, like wine grapes being grown in places like the UK where that's never happened. So what are the frontiers, if you will, of the shifting agricultural picture?
Well, when we look at, for example, the studies of what's happened already, and like you say, you see situations in Northern Europe where you see crops being grown that would never have been grown before. That is a pretty clear example locally of things that are likely to be strongly influenced by climate change. If you look at tropical areas and looked at our understanding of how sensitive those yields are of crops like wheat or corn or other things, lots of different studies have concluded that there's significant impacts. But this is an example of where we still don't have very good understanding of the adaptations that are actually going on. And we don't have a very good understanding, even where we do see adaptations, of how effective they are. You know, I think Australia is a case where you've seen pretty good work on what's actually happening in response to the shifts. For example, the big drought that they had. For example, the peanut industry relocating to another part of Australia. And so this, I think you're hitting on a clear challenge we have right now, is it's very hard to say anything very concrete about where adaptation is insufficient to keep up with the impacts.
David, where have you been working specifically on this issue? Like what part of the world?
So my own work actually has lately been a lot in the U.S., also in places like India and sub-Saharan Africa. And from a climate perspective, you know, the reason the U.S. is interesting is it's a very high productive system, which means that really agriculture is up against what the climatic potential is. And what that means is we actually see quite large sensitivities in the U.S. system. And so because it's such a large producer and because it plays a major role in setting global prices of food, that's one area that we focused recently.
I mean, the U.S. is a high productivity country, and that entails a huge economy of scale. Is that a disadvantage if there's a crisis? I mean, Africa, for example, could kind of turn on a dime and adapt pretty quickly, I'd think.
On the face of it, you're correct that there's lots more potential to adopt existing things in a place like Africa. On the other hand, the innovation systems in places like the U.S. and the ability to rapidly adopt things is much higher. And so it is an interesting question in terms of which areas are capable of adapting the most or changing the quickest, but it's not an obvious answer.
You seem pretty certain, David, that the changes are going to continue. Are they locked in, or do we have any wiggle room if we can somehow change course on the ways people respond to the challenge of climate change?
Well, my impression is that the next 20 or 30 years, we are committed to a certain rate of climate change. Now, we don't know exactly how fast it'll be, but it's very likely that warming will continue to happen over the next few decades. When you look out past 2050, say, then it really becomes an issue that we're not locked in, but it's a matter of what decisions we make going forward about how much we emit.
David Lobel, the director of the Center on Food Security and the Environment at Stanford University. He's also co-author of the new draft UN report on the likely impacts of climate change. David, thank you.
Thank you.